Good afternoon, everyone. We'll call the meeting of Agriculture and Rural Economies Committee and hearing to order for today. Clerk will note the roll and note we do have a quorum. And today, members, we're going to have several bills up. Get some of these bills done and on the way. And well, we're going to talk about bioenergy and biomass for a lot of the day, and then a couple other ones. So we'll start out with Senator Saxhog. We're standing at file 260. Would you care to move your bill, Tom? And we're going to move this to local government, right? Would you care to move the bill then?
Well,
you're a committee member, so you can move it yourself.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to recommend that Senate file 260 pass and be sent to the local government committee.
Okay.
Because of then it's coming back. Mr. Chair, would it be possible for us to just briefly explain it?
I would like
Jacobs
you to do
here.
That because our intent, members, is to after local government here's the bill that they have jurisdiction over this, that they send it back here to us and see if we will include it. So we'll make that decision here. We'll include it later on when it comes back and possibly include it in the bill. So
good.
Go ahead, Senator.
So, Mr. Chair, Senate File 260 is a request from Aiken County to be able to exchange some county agricultural land with an adjoining landowner. Current law allows for counties to rent, lease, or sell county ag land. This proposal simply will add the ability to exchange the land. We've been doing a lot of that at the state level with tax forfeit lands. We used to do pass money back and forth. I think we've found that it's more efficient, if possible, to exchange lands. So with me today is Mark Jacobs, Aiken County Land Commissioner. He's going to give some brief testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jacobs. Would you state your name for the record and tell us your testimony?
My name is Mark Jacobs, Mr. Chair, Aiken County Land Commissioner, and I'm here to talk about Senate File 260. Brief background. A couple of years ago, we entered in to help out the Aiken County Ag Society, the Fair Board. They wanted to exchange a parcel with a private entity adjacent to them so the entity could expand the business and they could gain better access to the fairgrounds. While we were helping them out, we dug through the records and found out there was some county-owned land in the mix as well. So it was Aiken County, the Ag Society, and a private entity in this exchange. We did appraisals. We agreed on the appraisals. We had two public hearings, went through the entire process. When the private entity was getting their title cleared, the title insurance company said that we didn't have statutory authority to do a land exchange. So here we are. we're kind of looking for a change and an oversight, essentially, in the law. The nice thing about this exchange was that each parcel was appraised at $60,000, so the private business didn't have to come up with $60,000 in cash to do this transaction, nor did the Fair Board, and yet it would be a win-win situation. There was no loss of tax base. In fact, there would be a gain of tax base because when that business expanded, it would certainly increase the tax base. So we thought it a win-win situation, but for this particular little glitch, and we would like to kind of clean it up if possible.
Okay. Any questions of the testifiers of Mr. Jacobs? Sounds like a really good idea to me. Sounds like a solution to a win-win situation. So let's vote on. I think we'll vote this out, Senator, and we'll send it on to local government, and then we'll. That will be our. Let's make this an emotion. We'll send it to local government with the idea it returns back and be included in our omnibus bill that we'll put out.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All right, sounds good. Any questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Okay.
Thank you.
File 260 is gone. Very good. Thank you. Okay, Senator Saxhog, since you're right there, we'll just continue on with Senate File 46. This one, again, members, we'll be holding this over for a possible inclusion of an omnibus bill coming out in the next several days.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Of course, I really didn't expect to be on the Ag Committee when I originally came here this year, but I'm glad I am now because the biomass, not biomass, but biofuels, of course, are a big part of the future of northern Minnesota, and they're handled in the Ag Committee. So this works out well, and I appreciate it. Senate File 46 is a request for a grant of $100,000 for the Lake of the Woods Economic Development Authority to do a preliminary study on the potential manufacturing of cellulosic biofuels. I'd like to make one small amendment change. What this would do is bring it in line with its House companion, and what it would what we're asking here then in this amendment is on line 1.8, delete the word plasma and the hyphen after it.
Okay, we have a motion in front of us. The initial motion was for, I'll make the initial motion, then Senate file number 46 be held over for possible inclusion. And then Senator Saxhog has an amendment to that motion that we delete the words plasma and the hyphen after that. Any questions about the amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, no. Okay, the motion before us. Now you have the bill in the form you wish to present then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This grant will begin the process to analyze the potential for the Lake of the Woods to be able to create green energy using woody biomass as a fuel source. I think it's important to note that this process is not burning. It's gasification. It's done in an oxygen-free, high-temperature environment. Again, it's not burning. This project would help create added value to a logging industry by using diseased logs, let's say potential of black ash, which we know the emerald ash borers is moving into northern Minnesota, which has the largest ash population in the whole United States. And of course, it would use other parts of the tree that aren't used in the paper or the lumber business, so tree tops, branches, even sawdust. And it helps with the forest management, take some of the stuff out of the forest that can be a fuel for forest fires. So the timber industry, though, as I think we all know, as most industries, has been hit hard. And what we're really looking for here, I think, is the next generation of biofuels, and this will give us the wood industry a little bit of a pickup, as well as maybe some of our dependency on fossil fuels. So, I've got Mark Lindquist with me today, and he's the DNR's expert on biofuels, and he's going to give a little testimony as to what we're going to be doing.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lindquist. How have you been?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I've been doing very well. Thank you.
Good.
My name is Mark Lindquist. I'm the Energy and Biofuels Program Manager for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Senator Saxhog.
It's okay. Saxhog.
Excuse me.
You were the first one.
All the faces looking.
I know.
Asked us to come be here to talk about what the resource is, the woody biomass resource potential is in the area of Lake of the Woods County and Williams. This is a project that we actually have some history with. Our utilization and marketing program with the Department of Forestry has done a couple of woody biomass assessments, one specifically for this project and one for the, and you're going to have to forgive my pronunciation here again, the Gazebe Resource and Resource Conservation and Development District. So we've taken a look at what's up there. This is an area where there's a lot of lowland forests, so there's considerable amount of tamarack. There's some mortality issues up there with that species. So there's opportunities to harvest dead tamarack. There's a fair amount of logging slash. There are also brushland resources that we would like to see opportunities to more intensively manage that could bring a substantial amount of biomass to the table if we can get the right techniques and equipment and market prices to move that material. As the senator noted, there's also a fair amount of lowland forest that's dominantly forested with black ash, and that's a resource that's at risk long-term to the emerald ash borer. So this would create some value-added management opportunities for that resource prior to it just sort of dying, and then it would allow us to do some management and bring some other species in there. So from a biomass supply resource, this is not a bad place to go. This is pretty attractive. In fact, you know, as we checked with our timber sales people coming in, just west of here, our Warroad Forestry office, you know, is still having trouble clearing out all the timber sales that they put up. So, you know, we lost a fairly large wood processing plant down in Bemidji with the closure of the Ainsworth board mill a couple years ago. So that was something like 400,000 cords of wood that we've lost market for. So creating some additional markets for woody biomass in this part of the state would facilitate the department's ability to manage resources and continue to create logging opportunities and other value-added processing opportunities. So, again, as far as areas where we're looking for a woody biomass resource, this is a pretty good place to go. There's a pretty rich resource there.
Any questions?
I guess, Mr. Chair, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Saxhock, do you know, is this a continuing appropriation or is this a new appropriation?
This is a new one-time appropriation. And I was going to kind of refer to that, Senator Nelson. It probably should say up to 100 and from about to 60 to about 75,000 would be used for a feasibility study by Wink Engineering and Accounting with Christensen Associates, and then 25,000 would be used for site acquisition and preparation. So that's kind of how we broke down. We just didn't pick it out of the air. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good question. Senator Kalash?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Saxhock, is this a new plant? Is this a new technology or just we'll have a plant that's already operated someplace else and just plug it into this area?
Senator,
I think I'll thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Kalash. I think I'll defer to Mr. Lindquist on that particular point.
My understanding is what they're looking at is gasifying and upgrading that gasification product to something that would be very much akin to natural gas that you get in a pipeline grade natural gas. Is this a drop-in technology like a dry mill ethanol plant? I would say it's not probably that robust, but it is certainly biomass gasification equipment is out on the marketplace and pretty functional and operational.
Thank you.
Senator Stumpf?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a plasma gasification plant up there? I remember on the bonding tour that we took up, and I'm not sure exactly where it was, if that was International Falls or someplace. Right. Is that operating or?
Senator Saxhock?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Stuff, that you're right. That's International Falls. It's plasma gasification, and that's garbage. And it isn't running yet, but it continues to progress. It's, you know, it's technology that's coming over from Japan. There's really nothing like it in the United States right now. So the first one, as we all know, is usually the toughest. But it's not the same as this. This is just wood.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Stumpf,
and this plant would produce natural gas. Is that correct, or is this going to produce steam or heat or?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Stumpf, this gasifies the wood, and so you're right, it would produce a gas, whether you consider it natural or what would you call it? Mr. Lindquist.
Mr. Chair, my understanding from what the project developers have communicated to us is that what they would do, it's a completely different kind of machine than the plasma arc gasification system. This is much more akin to what's at, say, Chippewa Valley Ethanol Company. What they would do is put wood under high heat and temperature, break it down into carbon monoxide and hydrogen gas, and then the next step would be to bring it through chemical engineering and basically make methane, which is pretty much what natural gas is. So their communication to me was that they want to make a pipeline-grade natural gas product that they can then distribute through the high-capacity natural gas pipeline that runs through Lake of the Woods County.
And one final question.
Senator Stone?
Mr. Chairman, does biomass also include, like, peat? You know?
Mr. Lindquist? Senator Sackfeld? I'm going to put Lindquist on the hot seat.
Mr. Chair. Biomass, you know, we can probably find about six different statutory definitions for biomass in Minnesota statutes alone. You know, I think at this point, no statutory discussion within Minnesota statutes would specifically include peat as a biomass. I think there's been some real concerns about what the large-scale ecological issues would be to get into large-scale peat mining. Which would be a whole different ballgame than forestry management. So is peat an organic matter from recently living plants? Yeah, so, you know, technically you might well be able to define peat as biomass. Do we want to define it as biomass as a matter of policy in the state of Minnesota? That's a different conversation.
Mr. Chair and Senator Stumpf, the question with peat is it a fossil fuel or is it biomass? It's kind of right at that point.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we used to have a peat mine up by Bedette.
Yeah.
And that was with a project with Boise up in International Falls. And,
right.
And you know, I think it worked. I you know, obviously, as you have fluctuating prices of fuel, some things work and at certain times and some things don't. But, you know, there's a I think it depending, like I say, on the prices of anything, you can, you know, sometimes it works. And it could be a great source.
Mr. Lindquist, as long as we have you in a chair, and you notice I have a bill up next, and that's dealing with the Next Generation Energy Board. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the plant in Benson and some of the things we're doing, because we did and go through adding forestry to this and all that. Could you give us a little discussion on that? Because my bill's coming up next, and I would rather have you do it than me do it. Since you are one of the staff folks for the and I would say to the members, a key staff person for the support of the Next Generation Energy Board. But could you talk a little bit about that and how we're including more forestry products or attempting to do this and kind of all the way through, go through all that, Mark?
Absolutely. And Mr. Chair and committee, you know, I'd also point out that Christina Conley with the Department of Ag is sitting over here, who is the primary staff to the Next Gen Energy Board. And you know, agencies try to work together on issues and opportunities, and the department has directed and enabled me to work with our friends over at Ag in supporting this board and effort. Next Gen Board was created, I think, in 2007, as we were starting to have some serious conversations about cellulosic ethanol and where we're going to go with biofuels in the state, and whether it's about and how we use different resources and technologies. The Next Gen Board was created to create a forum for some bipartisan interagency and stakeholder dialogue and discussion about some of those policy pieces, but also that first first year the board was appropriated something on the order of $3 million to help facilitate projects that advance the bioenergy industry in the state as a whole. So there were a number of grants made, including to the Chippewa Valley Ethanol Company that also purchased interest in another company called Frontline. They're a biomass gasification company that ultimately came out of Iowa State. It was a period of high natural gas prices, and Chippewa Valley was looking to see how can we help add more value to the businesses of our cooperative investors and owners and farmer members. So they put in a fairly high-tech piece of equipment to offset boiler fuel use, and then ultimately came to the NextGen board looking for some support to take that gasifier to the next step to help clean up the material, that gas that they produce, so they could pipe it around the plant and more efficiently use the biomass that they were creating. They were targeting the use of corn cobs ultimately as the feedstock that they would like to use. At this point, they have had some cost structure issues, and the price of natural gas versus the price of corn cobs has gotten them to a point where more or less the boiler is been stood down. But they continue to work, and that's a company that's a real innovator within Minnesota. It's an ethanol company that looks to always find new ways to add values for its co-op members and its communities, and they're helping bring new technologies and capacities into the state. And so the NextGen board was very eager to partner with them and help them add that value to the state of Minnesota. And so, but as the chair noted, with the multiple agencies and interests around the table, we recognize that Minnesota is one state with multiple resources. And so, and I think it was 08, the legislature, amended the statute on the board's recommendation to add a forest representative. So then Wayne Brandt from Minnesota Forest Industries was appointed to the board. But the board also invested about $100,000 in analyzing and assessing forest biomass availability through the University of Minnesota and Professor Dennis Becker over in the Forest Resources Program. So it certainly was a board that at its core is looking at agriculture, but recognizing that agriculture and forestry are a continuum across this landscape in the state of Minnesota, and working together to help find the right homes and the right markets and the right technologies for the whole range of bioenergy feedstocks and opportunities and technologies in the state.
Very good. Any questions of Mr. Lindquist or Senator Saxhog? If not, Senator, would you renew the motion? How about the Department of Ag? Would you have any comments, Smith Gauthier or Christina Connolly? Since the department is going, this will be going through the department, Commissioner of Agriculture. So.
Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Greta Gauthier with the Department of Agriculture, and I have with me today Christina Connolly, who is our staff person for the Bioenergy the NextGen board, and she would like to make a couple comments at this time. Okay.
Welcome, Ms. Connolly. How are you today?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm doing well. For the record, I'm Christina Connolly, and I manage our bioenergy programs at the Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to add one thing to Mr. Lindquist's comments. Otherwise, I completely echo everything he said, and he did a great job describing the board and its accomplishments to date. I would just highlight one other project, since you're focusing today on the use of woody biomass, wood waste. The largest funded project was a partnership between the Central Minnesota Ethanol Company, or Co-op, sorry, and a company at the time called SunOpta. It's now partnered with Mascoma. But those two together were awarded almost $1 million to study the feasibility of ultimately transitioning that existing cooperative plant to a cellulosic ethanol facility, and the main feedstock would be woody biomass in the area. So,
yep. Very good. That's all. Okay, so you support the project then? That sounds good.
Yes, Mr.
All right, Senator Saxhog. Thank you very much, ladies. Senator Saxhog, you renew your motion?
Yeah, I do, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate File 46 as amended be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you. All those in favor of the said motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Senator Saxhog. Senator Dames, you want to come up and I'll we'll continue our.
Senator Magnus is with us today to present Senate File 538, a bill on bioenergy grants appropriation. Senator Magnus, would you go ahead and present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If someone on the committee would move the bill to be included for possible inclusion, I would appreciate that.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Nelson?
So moved.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Nelson. Well, Mr. Chairman and members, we've had quite a bit of discussion already about the Next Generation Energy Board, and this bill basically is going to do that. I would like to make it a couple amendments, though, to the bill to get it in a shape that I'd like to do. And they would be in, one amendment, I think we can do it all in one. And it'll be an oral amendment. So if you want to take your copy out, members, on line 1.6, we would strike the language special revenue and put in general. So we'll be getting the monies from the general fund. We have a blank appropriations yet because we're still trying to work out the details of our budget. And Mr. Chairman and members, I've talked to Senator Kubley, the ranking member, and about meeting with a minority next week about our omnibus bill and putting some numbers in as we do that, and we'll talk as a majority caucus too about this, as the bills we have out there we don't have the final numbers for, and we'll work on those next week. And then on the second page, we would delete all of paragraph B. What I'm trying to do with those amendments is, since we have a general idea, basically, of what our budget is going to be, we don't have our final target yet for the committee, but we have a pretty close idea what it'll be. And at the time we put the bill together, we didn't know what funds we would have, and I wanted to leave the possibility open of going to the special revenue fund, renewable development fund, as a possible source, but I think we'll be able to fund this under our what we call the Agri Fund, and as we move along with the budgets, we'll look at that. So, basically, what the bill does, Mr. Chairman and members, is provide some funding for the Next Generation Energy Board. Again, we've talked about that quite a bit already today. Mr. Knopf has put together a research backgrounder for you to look at. Two-page one. Again, disregard the language on the Renewable Development Fund. We'll be taking the money out of the general fund, or what we're calling the Agri Fund. It outlines the members of the board. We'll be making appointments to those as we go on here. And talk to the governor and the administration and see is going to go, and then we'll decide who's going to be chairing the board. So that's basically it in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman, members. I again, bringing the bill forth. We'll fill in the financial blanks as we get more information next week. I do anticipate, members, that we will, as we look down the road here, it's my intention to have at least the spreadsheets ready for the committee to look at. Again, we'll work with the minority and the majority members beforehand to think through some numbers and put in the items they'd like to have in the omnibus bill. We'll have that ready to discuss next Thursday. Have the financial stuff together. We will. It's our hope to send the bill out of here on Tuesday, the Tuesday after that then. So that's our intentions, Mr. Chairman, members. So
thank you, Senator Magnus. Do any members have any questions, or is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator?
Yeah.
Kielash?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Magnus, by reading this, I get the impression this is continued funding from what's already there, and so is that right? I mean, the board's already in existence, and this is just this year's budget for this particular. Okay, and what was the budget last year? Do you know?
I don't have to ask, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash. I'd have to ask Mr. Mueller to give us the numbers from what we had in the past. If you would, Dan.
Mr. Chairman and members, they received a $3 million appropriation, I believe it was back in 2007, and are just wrapping that up right now.
Okay. So this is a continuation. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. This is a continuation of what we've been doing with probably lesser dollar amounts in it. Does the scope of what they're doing change at all, or what we're asking them to do change at all?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kielash, not really, although we did, as it was mentioned earlier, we did expand the board to include the forestry representative on the board. So we're looking at projects to include our forestry industry. And I've talked to Senator Saxhog about this before we started the committee work. And it's something that I feel we need to continue in this. So, but otherwise, the rest of the board and their efforts would not change. We're looking at the example with the Benson plant we talked about is a good example of using biomass for an energy source to provide another renewable, an alternative energy, and you know, kind of the things that we'd like to do. We also, I don't recall if I told you about this, but one of the ethanol plants in southern Minnesota is being changed now and converted through this year. By next spring, about a year from now, we anticipate they will be making isobutanol. It'll be the first isobutanol plant in the United States, first commercial plant in the United States. So I would like to see the next-gen board come down and visit that plant, have a good discussion with that, and probably have our committee come down also to go look at it, because these are some of the innovative things as we look at the next generation energy use, not strictly just biofuels, as you'll see in here, but electric, just all sorts of energy use we can do. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Magnus, I just wasn't clear on the board, so my questions were just new to the committee and understanding what they're doing. Thank you.
Good question, Senator. Thank you.
And members, let's keep the discussion in relationship to the amendment, and then we'll vote on the amendment, and then we'll open it back up for discussion on the main motion. So is there any further discussion on the amendment or questions pertaining to the amendment? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment carries. Now we'll open it up for discussion on the bill itself. Senator Stumpf, I believe you had your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually did have a question, but and Senator Magnus, I know you're a farmer, so technically it's just kind of a point. Is it easier to make, maybe not easier, that's not the right word I'm searching for, more efficient maybe, to make alternative fuels via let's say, a fermentation process versus a gasification process? I think your proposed language takes in both. I think it can be either or process, but it seems like I haven't seen any kind of reports or research that says that one would be easier versus another. Now I know in certain circumstances, like dairy farmers, methane byproducts are much more readily available. But we talk about using cellulosic material. I think the University of Minnesota Crookston has had some emphasis on trying to use a fermentation type process with woody products. But I haven't seen any information as to say, well, that's the right way to go versus, let's say, kind of gasifying it. I don't know. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Magnus
and Senator Stump, that's an interesting question and a good question, because one of the things that we determined as a Next Generation Energy Board early on was that we would be, to our best abilities, be technology neutral, because the answer to your question is maybe and yes and no. In some cases, the fermenting process is the most economical way with some products, and that's changing from day to day. As you develop new enzymes, there's always a discussion with the biofuels, for example, that were one or two special enzymes away from cellulosic energy source being very competitive with corn-based ethanol, for example. So we don't really know that. This is part of what we're trying to discover is and support these new enzymes and the fermenting process. But for a lot of the cellulosic, especially the wood product, it's been strictly gasification, to my knowledge. I don't know of any process right now that is using a fermenting system with enzymes to use biomass, woody biomass, for example. But it's been our commitment to stay technology neutral because we view this whole effort as we see a superhighway out here, but we've got a lot of dirt paths to get to the superhighway, and we just don't really know which of the paths to take. And in our discussions with the university and others, and really watching the worldwide efforts on this, is we think it's a mistake to just pick one technology and go because it's changing virtually all the time. So it's a fun thing to be working with, and we're cutting edge, and a lot of interesting things going on, and we've got some of the best people here in the state of Minnesota. We've got some of the best people in the world working out of, based in Sioux Falls there, the POET folks now doing cellulosic research work just across the border into Iowa. I wish it was one of our plants in southern Minnesota that they were working with, but maybe that's down in the road and we can do that, so.
Madam Chair, just an added comment.
Senator Stump.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me, I'm not a scientist, but it seems to me that the fermentation process adds a lot of added value in the byproducts, such as your ethanol plants where you have feed byproducts, or and multiple times you'll have the canola, that'll be a crushing plant, but you can have not only just the value of the fuel that's derived, but you can have probably just about as much value out of out of some of these other process or byproducts because it doesn't take the protein out of it, and it'll be worth probably as much as the fuel when in the end. And I think all of those facets need to be taken into account when we get these reports and stuff back.
Yep. Senator Magnus, would you like to respond?
Pardon me?
Would you like to respond?
No, that's you're exactly right, Senator. And I agree with you. And I would point out, Senator Rosen's here now. We did amend the bill that we have up right now, Senator Rosen. We had initially funding coming out of the Renewable Development Fund, but I amended that language out because I didn't want to have to go fight this in the Energy Committee. And we'll just fund it ourselves if we do that, since you and I haven't had dinner to determine what we're going to do with the Renewable Development Fund. Unless you really want it, we can. No. Anyway, we amended the bill, Senator, so we have that out. So I just wanted to tell you that. So.
Are there any other questions for Senator Magnus? Hearing none, the bill before the committee is to pass Senate File 538 as amended to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Hey, thank you very much, members.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and fellow members. It's very good to finally be in front of this committee with a great bill. Mr. Chair, Senate File 558 is basically a bill that deals with farm disposal of solid waste and livestock mortalities.
Okay, Senator Rosen, we'll have someone move the bill unless you want
I'd
to.
I'd like to move, yeah,
okay,
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move
that.
All right.
Senator Rosen moves the bill, Senate File 558, to be, we're going to send this one to the Environment Committee, Senator.
Okay.
I've talked to Chairman Ingebretson, suggested that he hear it, and he agrees, and you and I have talked to him both, and so we'll do that. And since it does deal with some environmental issues.
Okay, great.
Okay, go ahead, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Over the past year, the PCA has started prohibiting burying the concrete and rebar on site. And a lot of this pertains to some of these hog setups that are no longer in use. So they drain the pits, and then you have this concrete and rebar skeleton left in place. And the PCA is now saying that you have to either bring a grinder on site and grind it there, or you have to pick it up and take it over to a demolition landfill, which is very, very expensive. And what this first part, Section 1, would say is to allow the owners of the property to basically bury the concrete and rebar and then have it notification on the deed that there is concrete and rebar in this location. And like I said, this is really important for the pork producers, because it's a very expensive part of just maintaining their land. The second part, the Section 2, is really just grants sole responsibility for the regulation and oversight of animal mortalities to the Minnesota Board of Animal Health, because right now, under certain circumstances, the PCA has been involved in some of these, and it gets to be very expensive. There's a time delay with this when you're dealing with animals that die on your farm, and then the PCA comes in and says, well, wait a minute, we want to make sure that you're doing this right, and pretty soon you've got 5-10 days on this animal, and then you have to think about how you're going to dispose of it in a completely different manner, and so it gets much more expensive as time goes on. So we would just like in this section to say the Board of Animal Health is the one that designates how these animals are to be disposed of. And with me, Mr. Chair, I have Mr. David Pressler. who is the president of the Minnesota Pork Producers.
He's Senator Rosen. He's executive director.
Oh, executive director. I was close.
Mr. Freisler, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Good. Good to see you again.
Just a little bit of overview.
And please state your name and testify.
Sure. My name is David Preisler, and I'm the executive director for the Minnesota Pork Producers Association. Thank you to Senator Rosen for authoring this bill. This really came to our attention within about the last year or so, where we did have some farms that were and wanted to basically clean up their farm site and had barns that they were not using anymore, and wanted to decommission those barns. Basically, what they do is take the steel that is on the barn, and usually any steel on the inside ends up going to recycling. And so basically anything from the foundation up, you end up recycling. You also go into the barn, and if there's any, like, mercury switches or that sort of thing, you take those out and handle those appropriately, and we're not arguing with any of that. Where we did get to a point of disagreement is on how to handle the concrete then that's remaining. And just like Senator Rosen mentioned, the options that were presented to the farmers were not real acceptable from our standpoint. We did not see any sort of environmental reason that you can't bury concrete. But on the flip side, we also want to make sure we're doing something that's responsible, and that is to notify folks that if you're going to bury something on site, that you put that note on the deed. You know, we have had experience with some of our members where they've bought a piece of property and then we're going to do some digging and build a structure, and all of a sudden they found the threshing machine and Grandpa's Model T and everything else buried in a spot. And so we think it's only fair that you go ahead and put that note on the deed. Again, we look at this as something that, quite honestly, is just common sense. You're avoiding wear and tear on county and township roads, bringing that concrete back out again. And again, from an environmental standpoint, we just don't see any issue, and we haven't seen issues that have been identified to us. And then to the second part of the bill, this is another area that I think you can just look at is really just government efficiency. And instead of having multiple agencies having jurisdiction over what happens with animal mortalities, we would submit that the Board of Animal Health should be that organization. They already, in our estimation, already have been doing that job for literally decades, and with really very good success. They've got relationships that exist already with farmers. They've got folks that work out in the country. And so I think just to take advantage of that and make sure that that those are the folks that actually are going to deal with farmers and mortalities that may occur on farms. So with that, I'm not going to go into any more detail unless there's any questions from the committee.
Any questions of the testifiers? Senator Rosen?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Nino?
Really, just two suggestions, I think. On the back page, line 2.8, the word country, I think, is supposed to be county.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Rosen?
I move that on line 2.8... the word country becomes county.
Country.
Thank you, Senator Nino.
Okay, we'll just incorporate that into your motion, Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then line 1.17 through 1.19, I just had a question there if this might undermine your intent, if you haven't thought about this. Is it possible that wording, if they do have household waste pickup, would that preclude them from burying this cement and rebar? And just something to think about as you move along to the next committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen, Mr. Konofkin has been looking at this, and maybe he could answer your question, Senator Nino. And Greg, you want to?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, I actually did take a look at wondering the same thing, because this provision only it applies for farmers all over the state unless the county passes a resolution saying that there is available pickup all throughout the county. I've got a map here that PCA presented the other day in the Environment Committee, and Cottonwood County is one of those counties that does have a no-burn resolution, so I'm assuming that also means that this provision then wouldn't apply in Cottonwood County. Basically, all of southwestern Minnesota does not have a resolution passed, but Cottonwood is one that has, saying that they have pickup throughout their county. And so there are the way this is because 17.135 was put in place back in the 80s when the Pollution Control Agency was going to exercise or basically prohibit all burn barrels and burying on farms. And so this was put in place to say that, all right, you can continue to do this as long as you don't have countywide pickup of solid waste. And then so that's why the resolution thing was put in, the resolution sentence was put in place. So there would be counties where the way this has been drafted, there are counties that would not be able to do that. You wouldn't be able to do this in certain counties where they have that resolution passed.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Perhaps we could get that straightened out for when it goes to the environment. That would be good.
Maybe, yeah, we'll get a map. We'll get a map out here to you so... Most of southern Minnesota does not have that. Cottonwood County has the big landfill area, and
okay.
Most of our products in the surrounding counties go to Cottonwood County
mm-hmm.
to do that. So that's a long ways to go from Rock County, say, and down in the corner.
Mr. Okay. Chair, I also have Mr. Kodolka from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency that would like to say a few words.
Did you have a question, Senator Stump, or would you care to...
Yes, I do, and maybe this will fit in with the testimony. It seems like if there is any quantity of concrete, this might be all right, and certainly okay, I think, for the rebar. But there are smaller quantities. It doesn't say, like, how much concrete would qualify. At least around our area, and I've buried hundreds of rock piles over my years farming, and they're still doing it. And I guess if you had a smaller building where you'd break it up with a backhoe and go out and bury it, you're obviously going to bury it below, an adequate depth that it's not going to bother anything. And it's in a field, and I just don't see the rationale why we would have to go to the county recorder and record it in the registry or on your deed.
Senator Rosen?
Mr. Chair and Senator Stump, that's a very good point. I suppose you don't have to. You'd be in contempt of law, I suppose. It's probably not the answer you wanted to hear.
Most of those problems are kind of self taken care of.
That's a good point.
Well, Mr. Kodolka, maybe the Pollution Control can explain this to us. Or did you wish to continue, Senator Rosen?
No, I was just, Mr. Chair, I was just going to say if Senator Stump would like to say a minimum, but how do you do something like that? I guess Mr. Knopf could advise us on that, too.
Just before we get to that point, Mr. Knopf has suggested an amendment to your on the first page. I think that will help with that issue we raised. Greg, would you tell the members about your proposal.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, what I was thinking to make, if the intent is that the new clause 2 on 1.14 to 1.15 apply statewide to farmers who are doing this, then on 1.17, if you delete strike this and insert the, and then after exception, insert in clause 1. So it would be the exception in clause 1 does not apply. So that would be basically the current law for clause 1. And that way the remainder of it wouldn't affect the clause 2 or the new part.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that recommendation.
Okay. Senator Rosen moves the amendment as the oral amendment as stated. Do we have this on the record? Okay. Any questions of the amendment? All right. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay. I think that accomplished what you want to do there. So. Okay. Pollution Control Agency. Please state your name, Mr. Kodolka.
Hi. My name is Kirk Kodolka. I'm the legislative director for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And I do have with me today Steve Lee, who can go into much greater detail on some of this stuff. I'll defer to the committee on how much you'd like us to talk about this. And I do apologize to the author. I wasn't able to stop by earlier and discuss some of this a little bit more. But I think the overall message is that we're interested in continuing to work on these areas. There are some things that I think we can come to some agreement on. In the first section dealing with the disposal of waste and concrete, I don't know how much detail you want.
Well, what do you do? One question I would have, for example, is what do you do with the concrete and rebar? If you grind it up, then what do you do with it? If you take it out of the ground and you grind it up, then what do you do with the remains then? The ground up concrete and rebar.
Mr. Chair, committee members, there's one of the ways is one of the testifiers mentioned, the steel and rebar, and that can be recycled. The actual concrete itself can be disposed of many ways. One is recycling. It does make aggregate and can be used in that form after it's ground up. And the other is construction and demo landfills that we have across the state to dispose of the stuff in a safe manner. In general, we've been working with a number of folks on how they handle their waste on their own property, whether it be through burning barrels or burying. And there's been a lot of success working with folks, various groups, including the farm industry, on successes to protect the public health and the environment. And I think we've come a long way in that regard. Just real briefly, our concern is when it is buried on someone's land by themselves, unfortunately, a lot of other things tend to find their way into the waste stream also, whether it be paint cans, municipal waste, where those are where we have the concerns, and it's our experience is that much more goes in there, and that's where we like to work on it. Along that same theme of working on trying to find a solution to this, the PCA has been working with some of our feedlot and solid waste administrators on a general solid waste permit that would allow for the burying of concrete on their own property and creating some type of structure for it to be done so that we can meet the needs and ease and efficiency for those who are burying it and also allow for some of that environmental protection and public health. At this point, we just have the goal is for the notice of this to go out this spring so folks can start using it later in the year. It's one possibility, and I have not been able to mention this to the author, or I'm not sure how much the producer groups are aware of what we've been working on, and I apologize for that. But this might be one possible way where we can come to a solution where everyone is in the benefits. On the second piece, looking at the disposal of livestock, and that there's unfortunately in 2008, there were some situations where I think it's safe to say everyone will agree things did not go well and that there have been improvements. We've been looking internally to make improvements to that and are committed to working with the Department of Ag, Board of Animal Health to work on that. In fact, we have a meeting Friday to start working on, continue working on some of these issues as we move forward with the other departments and move forward on finding a solution to this. I do have Steve Lee here who could explain a little bit more about some of the past situations and more details on some of our concerns, if you'd like. Or,
well, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just had a couple comments I wanted to ask perhaps Mr. Kodolka that if you're looking at a general solid waste permit, how much would that cost? And then, again, that is, again, a permit that's being placed on the landowner and on agriculture. And the second thing I was going to say is I do appreciate the ongoing discussion with the Minnesota Board of Animal Health for the animal mortalities, because that is an issue. And I do think it's a redundant regulation when you have two departments that are in there trying to figure this out. So if we could streamline that would be very helpful. But I am concerned about another permit being issued, and these people these farmers have to go through this all over again with a permit and the cost and just the unnecessary, when we could just take care of all of it with a deed notification.
One question I would have going back to the concrete and rebar, if you you take this concrete out of the ground and you grind it up, what's the cost to grind this up? Do you have any cost estimates? You could just give us a general idea what this costs, and then as I understood your testimony, it was either going to go to a landfill somewhere. Does it need to be ground up before it goes to the landfill? I imagine. What's the cost to grind it up and get it to an aggregate? Is this to build roads or? A little more information on that, if we could.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Preissler.
In conversations I had with a couple of our members that were presented with these options, and basically what they've done is, in one case, they've done nothing. They're just sitting there not doing anything and not taking it out, kind of pending seeing what happens. For his site, it was going to be about $30,000 to bring in a grinder and have it ground, and actually to have it taken out and moved off-site was going to probably be even more than that. Because part of it is depends on what your distance is from wherever your farm is to the demolition landfill. And ironically, then he also did put forth, what if I just take one of the barns and just fill it with dirt, not do anything with the concrete, fill it with dirt, and use the existing footings that are there to build a machine shed. And that was not acceptable either. And so he didn't have a whole lot of options in his case. So from a cost standpoint, it's significant. The other thing that goes with it, as we did some research, so I talked with a number of counties and also county feedlot officers, and actually the County Feedlot Officers Association is in favor of this bill because they feel it would be a whole lot easier just for them to deal with it locally. And so I didn't hear from any counties that were opposed to this either. But as you look at it from the county perspective, they didn't see the point of it. They just didn't see, again, the wear and tear on roads that you would have bringing all that back out. I haven't found anyone locally at this point that's really generated much concern.
Does the pollution control have any numbers for us off the...
Mr. Chair and committee members, I don't. I can try to get some of that back to you, and we'll have to get more details on the draft general permit on what the cost of that may be. I don't have that, unfortunately.
Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, as someone who recycles concrete and grinds concrete at our facility in Winona, I'm guessing roughly $8 to $10 per ton would be a good estimate to dispose of the concrete at a recycling facility.
And how much to grind it, Senator?
That would include the grinding.
Include the grinding. Okay.
So the disposal fee at a recycling facility would be roughly $10 per ton, which concrete adds up. It's pretty heavy. So it is an expensive process.
But Senator Miller, how many entities are there out there like this in the state? I mean, would you come over to Rock County and grind some up for us?
No.
How much would that cost?
Mr. Chair, we actually rent there's multiple companies that have these large grinding machines, and it's fairly expensive to rent them. So what we do is, in fact, we're kind of holding off on it now because it's not very cost effective to do it, but we accumulate the material, and then you bring in a machine, and the company comes in, and they do all the grinding. In southeastern Minnesota, there's maybe two or three places that do it. I'm not sure about south central or southwest Minnesota.
So,
not real common.
So, Senator Rosen, are we just going to pile up this concrete and then bring someone in? How are we going to do this? No.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. That's why we have Senate File 558 in front of you. It would be much easier just to make sure that we are just burying concrete and rebar and that there is a notification on the deed, and that's that. I mean, also I've heard that it's about as expensive to take it out as it is to put it in. So, and I know Mr. Preissler has something else he wanted to mention.
Mr. Preissler?
Mr. Chair, one other piece that I did not mention is that one other thing that goes with this, if you're going to bring the grinder on site, so onto the farm site, most counties that we talk to would require a conditional use permit for that to happen. And so the farmer would have to go through the conditional use permitting process in order to have that grinder brought on site, because you do have issues, obviously, with dust and noise and so on. So that's a whole other piece that I didn't bring up before.
Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kadalka, we are continuing to put concrete in the ground, and which makes me wonder, what is the PCA's concern about concrete being in the ground in the first place? I didn't know that it was a toxic or has some polluting kinds of things that could leach out of it to make this requirement to remove it. So could you just explain the PCA's concern on this?
Mr. Kadalka?
I don't have any specific knowledge on the concrete piece. I think our larger concern is what follows the concrete in there. You're right. The way the state handles waste, there are different streams, and we do handle them differently, municipal solid waste versus haz waste, and there's much higher precautions put in place in the disposal of those things. And we do have different type of landfills, like construction and demo landfills, that do have less requirements on them because of their being able to be disposed of more safely. Our big concerns with when folks are doing it privately is concrete is not the only thing going in at that time. They find this is a good time, well, let's, you know, we've got some other stuff that we can just take care of at the same time. We'll throw it in the pit. And those are substances, whether it's plastics or municipal solid waste or whatnot, a can of paint, that's where the concern is. The other one is, too, is that when folks are doing this on their own, we have seen a situation where these things aren't being recorded on the property deeds, unfortunately, and that some mechanism to ensure that that happens would be, I think, beneficial to everyone. But you are correct that concrete does have a less of a waste hazard rating than other materials.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up, so that PCA is concerned more about things other than the concrete. If it was just the concrete going in, would there be any concern about where how it's disposed of on a farm, or whether or not it's needs to be removed? The part that I don't understand is if we keep putting it in the ground, you must have a concern about it being a polluter, which doesn't make a lot of sense if we're continuing to use it. And if you're saying that we can't dispose of concrete because somebody might put something else in the pit, we're talking about two different issues, I believe. So the concern of the PCA on concrete seems it baffles me a bit.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'll need to get back to you. I don't have the expertise to answer specifically on the solid waste, and I don't have that person with me, unfortunately, today. So I'll need to get back to you on that. I apologize.
Senator Rosen, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we were just talking that even if you wanted to bury rocks, and I'm sure Senator Stump didn't do this, but you could put whatever you wanted in the pit. But this bill is making it so that there is notification for any future buyer. And I think it's just the proper direction to go to say this is what has happened on this land. We took proper due diligence to this concrete and rebar, and we followed the rules. It's non-pollutant, but this is where it's at in the property.
Okay. Senator Dames, did you have a question?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Kadalka, Senator Kielash pretty much asked the question I was looking at asking, so I no longer have a question, but I do have a comment. I think it's very unfortunate that the MPCA wants to extend their jurisdictions because they're concerned about something somebody might do. We're talking about people here that have large livestock barns, and if these barns go down or these barns are in a fire, they want to burn that concrete. I don't think you have to worry too much about those holes staying open for 2 and 3 months so people can throw other stuff into them. And I think these people are pretty responsible. And I think it's to the point to where we need to start giving people opportunity to do things that are right instead of always assuming they're going to do things that are wrong. And I hear so much. I've been here 12 weeks, and I hear so much, especially from the MPCA, always wanting to do things because they think somebody might do something wrong. let's give the people the opportunity to do something right, and I think we'll all be better off for it. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe to Mr. Preisler. I stepped out for a little bit, so you might have mentioned this. Is the biggest part you're trying to get at the pits, or is it slabs around old buildings, or feedlots, or a combination of both?
All of the above.
Mr. Preisler? Okay.
All of the above.
Yep, it would be all of the above. It could be an old silo, you know, that's on a farm. I mean, and I think one of the things you need to look at, too, is do we provide realistic options for people to take down buildings so we have the countryside that actually looks nice? Or do you want to have an incentive for people to just have a barn that sits there and basically just because people don't like or can't afford the option of taking some things down and you basically have an eyesore? And I think that's why this is something that we wanted to bring to your attention. You know, I think it's one of those common sense things.
Senator Rosen, Mr. Preisler, are you interested in changing in the second page, section C, putting in a de minimis clause in there, you know, above a certain level, you need to have a deed on the farm or whatever. If you are, it's fine. Could we have some suggestions otherwise? My suggestion to the committee is move it out. Let's move this out and let's send it to environment, and we can talk about environment over there. How does that sound to you?
Mr. Chair, I would appreciate that, too. I think the discussions that are going on with the PCA and the Board of Animal Health need to continue on.
Yeah, and maybe you can – Mr. Knopf's got some suggestions.
Absolutely.
You can work with them on during the interim between here and environment and get some agreement with pollution control and to see where – and maybe you can get some numbers to us about you know, what this really costs. I mean, I'm interested in it. If mm-hmm. I think Mr. Preisler brings up a good point. You know, let's not penalize people to do things they can't afford when it really is better. I like to look at some nice farms and so on, too.
And, Mr. Chair, I didn't want to leave the impression that I was insinuating Senator Stump does bury toxic materials in its farm miles. My apologies, Senator Stump.
Senator Rosen, somebody buried some rocks on my farm years ago because I go out and pick them up.
Mr. Chairman.
And now, after the testimony we heard on the other day from Dr. Gupta telling us that all the stream bank erosion filling Lake Pepin and others, that I can find some place for the rocks to go now.
Mr. Chairman. And the interesting thing about it is that they want to keep coming up every year.
Growing rocks. Much of the crowd, a lot of all right. Let's Senator Rosen renews her motion to send Senate File 558 on to the as amended on to the Environment Committee. And all those in favor of said motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And carries. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair,
and
members.
Preisler, and
appreciate
welcome
it.
The committee again. Again, just a little review. We're about getting close to the set with our target numbers. I'll work with Senator Kubley and the rest of you on the committee working through this. We'll be putting this omnibus bill out in the next week or so, and so we look forward to any ideas you have and working with you on it. Let's get the omnibus bill out of here and work on other fun stuff. So with that, we'll adjourn the meeting for today. Thank you very much.